You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome to the Table Talk podcast. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a TV presenter and writer specialising in food and science. Today's podcast is all about sports nutrition, trends and category development. We're joined today by James Markey, Managing Director of Nutrition X.
Hello.
Ryan Page, NPD Manager of USN.
Hello.
And Luca Bacchini, Vice Chair of ESNA, which is the European Specialist Sports Nutrition Alliance.
Hello.
Now, Luca, I thought I'd start with you, really. Without stating the bleeding obvious, what do we mean by sports nutrition?
Well, we mean all food products, including food supplements, that are helpful for people who are doing sports at any level. It may be just active lifestyle or professional sports people. Food products for them, nutrition for them. That's what we mean.
Okay. And Ryan, just broadly speaking, what sort of trends and category development are we talking about within the category? Because for a while, sports nutrition itself was just a trend, but now it's become a bit more granular, hasn't it?
Sure, yeah. So I think trends that are sort of driving the category at the moment is through sort of the increase in convenient sports nutrition, and that's been seen sort of with the distribution into a lot of the major retailers, I suppose, at the moment. It's less sort of specialist than it used to be, as well as sort of different forms of awareness and education. People tend to be shopping for different sports nutrition products for different reasons at the moment. So whether it be something like vegan or whether it be endurance, they start to see a lot of these sort of micro sectors within the sports nutrition industry.
So question to all of you, is that a fragmentation of sports nutrition as a category, or is that just this whole set of opportunities?
Anyone can answer that. Go on, pitch in there.
I think it's as Ryan said there, it's really broad. I think you can be looking at it from anyone, any age, you know, any sort of ability, whether that be sport or health and well-being. So you can segregate these things, but actually as a broad term, sports nutrition is everywhere now. It's, you know, it's in the shop, it's in the vending machine, the gym, and obviously right through then to the sport and performance side of things as well.
Now, James, this is interesting to us, you really, because you're actually running a sports nutrition company. But you're quite specialised, aren't you? You're not about this fragmentation. You're actually about specialisation. Can you shed light on that for us?
Yeah, of course. So what we've found sort of with the business is we've decided to specialise. I think, as you mentioned there, it's such a broad area now that we wanted to see if we could focus back to a more niche and specialised part. So that being the elite professional sports side of the industry. So we've seen that what we're trying to do and develop in product ranges is to help athletes who potentially are training at seriously high intensities and demands on their body are high extremes, essentially.
Okay, now, Luca, what's been interesting about this category is, I think, that for me, it is about the fragmentation of it, really. There's been a bit of a drive recently to call it active lifestyle rather than sports nutrition. Do you think that's a positive thing?
I think it makes sense. We have seen growth in the segment that with people who are more into active lifestyle rather than athletes and so on. So it does make sense, but I think we shouldn't lose part of our focus on sports people, because we learn from working with elite athletes. So we can't just think of our industry as serving the active lifestyle. So we need both. We need the high-end athletes, the sports, the pure sports category, but also the active lifestyle. So it's good to have the second part, but we can't lose sight of the top people.
And so, Ryan, if we're talking about NPD in this area and about new developments, and, you know, as I said to begin with, sports nutrition was, you know, a couple of years ago now, really, but it was the new bit. How are you exploiting new areas? What's new?
I think, to be honest, latest sort of trends we've been seeing is towards although the market's getting wider and wider in the terms of active nutrition and active lifestyle being used, it's, as we mentioned earlier, it's the fragmentation. So there's lots of opportunities arising within those different fragments. So people who are looking for much cleaner label products, people who are looking for maybe more sustainable products, or maybe even people looking for more personalized products. So I think as a product developer, it can be quite a challenge because ultimately you want a one size fits all solution. But the way the market is developing, that's becoming more of where we're seeing more innovation in those sort of little niche areas that are offering solutions to maybe a smaller group of people.
So could you go in a little bit more in depth into that? How do you personalize sports nutrition products?
Sure. I mean, well, there's little things that we've been seeing recently. I mean, to take it outside of sports nutrition, the company Yo Sushi, they've actually sent, or you can get sent a DNA kit. So they'll then tailor your lunch based on your genotype. And now, really, I don't really know the details of what that means, but I presume that there's different looking into sort of nutrigenetics, nutrigenomics, that trying to influence genes switching on and off through what sort of food you're eating and what sort of macro and micronutrients you're consuming.
And are innovations like that, which are the real sort of high tech developments, are they appealing to consumers, or do you get this sort of near phobia of people going, oh, I don't want science getting involved in my nutrition, which I do hear a lot.
Yeah, I see completely where you're coming from, but at the same time, I suppose nutrition is science, so it's quite difficult not to stay fairly close to that. Ultimately, yes, there will be products for people who want more sort of generic solutions, but I think where people are looking for the edge sometimes is to feel like they've had a product that's been made for them, not just for the general population.
Do you think there's sort of an inherent paradox in that? That don't get me wrong, I love science in my food. I'm a buyer, but people want this sort of this fluffy, nebulous concept of natural, but they want something that's specific to performance or to protein, or as you say, nutrition is a science. Is that an uneasy relationship?
I think it can be, I suppose, and personally, I'd always be an advocate for food first, but I think that's still where the nutrition or sports nutrition industry exists, is to provide sort of convenient products and also products that where we've done the research to sort of help with someone's training goals or aspirations. So I think it'll always serve a purpose, but yeah, ultimately in search of natural is where many people do go.
Luca, The whole category has seen huge growth. What are the consumer trends that have driven this, or even sort of conceptual trends that have driven this?
I think the main driver has been that people need to feel that they need to do more sports, be more active, and in as a consequence, they have been practicing more sports and being interested in the sports. Products that would support them, and part some of those products would be food products. So I think that we are part of a growing interest in healthiness, in being healthy and being fit, and so we benefit for that, and from an increasing share of the population interested in being in good shape. So I think, and that is not going to change. I think that more and more people will do more sports. And so the challenge for, as a consequence of this, the challenge for the industry will continue to be to provide ever better products. Also for people who may not necessarily need as much energy, for example, as they are elite athletes. So I think we need to find new ways to meet the needs of a larger proportion of the population. I think that's been the overwhelming trend. I think that explains a lot of growth. And of course, more convenience products are available, more shops, and so people can buy more. There's more interest. So it feeds on itself. And the same time, as you were mentioning, fragmentation and opportunities there. As we have a more diverse consumer base, of course, they have different expectations, different maybe even ethical expectations. So I see a lot of opportunities there as well.
I think just to add to both what Ryan and Luca said as well is, I think the industry needs to also be aware that we're pushing for innovation and the next product, but also because sports nutrition, supplements and this side of things is still a very emerging and new area. So I think there's also, responsibilities to look at simplifying things and a big area of education, as Ryan says as well, you know, food first, and there's a lot of information, there's products flooding the market now. So I think there's also a requirement to try and simplify things, but also there are areas where we need to find and push the boundaries and find the next creative sort of area as well. So there's kind of a two-way approach, I feel.
Yeah, so I mean, like, the next question really is has the category growth stalled a little bit, and are we looking at consolidation, and you know, are a few people going to drop by the wayside? Do you need to be a specialist like your company, James? You know, is there going to be a contraction? Is it a fad that's over?
I think whether it's a fad or slowing down, a bit hard for me to answer. I do
go think, on. Yes, of course you can.
I do think there's maybe a slight change in almost going a bit of full circle. I think the homing back in and people understanding that maybe doing it as a food approach, as a necessity and fundamental. Don't get me wrong, there's convenience and around travel, and there's areas where sports nutrition products are the best option. But I think more and more people have probably gone straight for that and then understood that maybe with a little bit more knowledge, I can do it from a food-based diet or actually incorporating the two. So I think what you find with a lot of companies now, like ourselves, is trying to blend how to use, say, a whey protein powder in with food. And so I think there is a slight maybe turn. I still think growth is on the rise, and as market in general, we'll continue to see that. But I do feel that there's also an evolution, if it were, in the way that we're starting to understand sort of best practices, or certainly from a generalised population, that there might be a food approach to that more so than the product.
Yeah. So, Ryan, do you think that there's an aspect to this? And I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but are there people now just buying these things in the hope that they're going to be healthier, and they still sit on the sofa and do NAFL but they're buying the dream? Is that part of the market, do you think?
I think to an extent, yes, probably, because I mean, you see sales periods probably being strongest for this sector in the months just past, so January, February. I think a lot of people decide that, look, new year, new me, and if I'm going to do this seriously, I'm going to need to buy some supplements. And I think some people take that approach. Obviously, some people do put them to good use. But I also think just by simply by purchasing a product, it does normally have a very similar effect on how much exercise you do. It's like, well, I've bought this, I've started something now, I've committed, so actually I am going to follow through for this. So sometimes we do see that sort of trend arise from some of the products that we do sell as well. So I suppose it's a sort of two different approaches. Yeah,
that makes sense. And Luca, on an epidemiological level, do we see the sports nutrition industry as having any influential impact on overall health of the population?
I don't know. The simple answer is I don't think there is data to support that statement. I think that, you know, as an industry, we promote sports, physical activity as well, and as now we do. I mean, I think you were making the point a moment ago that some people are buy sports nutrition products and then they actually don't exercise, and that's of course a concern for us. So we want to bring the message to people that our products are great, but you also have to exercise. The two things go together. So I don't think we have the evidence. It would be very difficult to collect, but I think overall the message that yes, sports is important, an active lifestyle is important, and we are helping deliver that message. So I think overall we are contributing to our healthy population.
Okay. Now, Ryan, I don't want you to give away your crown jewels here, because obviously you're in the world of NPD. But what sorts of innovation can we expect to see over the next couple of years? What sort of areas? Are there going to be subcategories, do you think?
Yeah, I think that is a good question, and it is very difficult to sort of answer it and not give too much away. However, I think a lot of industries and other industries that I've worked in as well, you always have a very clear pipeline of where you're going for the next few years. Now, because our industry is still quite junior, especially with regards to some of the products that technologies are making available now, like look at things like protein bars and where they were 5 years ago. I think it is quite difficult to say exactly where you're going to be, and also where, for example, where the next sort of trend, whether it be the rise of something like functional fitness a few years ago and different supplements tailored to that. It's really difficult to predict exactly where the industry is going to move to next. But I would say that as a point of entry to market for a lot of people, they are buying through convenience at the moment. So that's only going to grow and get more and more exciting. And I'd be really interested to see is what the next protein bar story is going to be. So what that next format's going to be.
So convenience and snacking and kind of snacking on the go, things like that's going to become a bigger category, or is it already mature, do you think?
I think it's already fairly sizable, but I think now it's probably got an opportunity to diverse a little bit. I think you'll probably see a rationalization in areas to make way for innovation. And at the same time, I mean that the general sort of supplements and as sort of James alluded to a little bit, almost going back to basics for some products, trying to make them a bit easier to understand. I don't think like some of the products in the past, from other people have been very confusing. And I think you sell sort of a delusion almost. People just don't fall for that in this day and age, especially with social media. It only takes one sort of person to go on and review a product and sort of talk about it, how it wouldn't be efficacious, for example, and that's it. You may as well stop production.
So I do think that is
a good thing. Yeah, but I think it's a good thing. It can only be a good thing. People, as long as the people that are reviewing it know what they're talking about, which is sometimes a challenge. It's only a good direction for us.
And Brian, do you think that so again, I know I'm focusing on you a bit here because you're the MPD guy, but do you think people is this a category that rises above the needs of most food categories? So, you know, the specificity of taste and colour and texture. Is that less important than a nutritional claim or putting the word protein in massive type on the packaging?
I think it used to be, and I really don't think it's that way anymore. And the reason why I say that, so I think people used to have the perception that the worse it tastes, the best it must be doing for me, because it must have some stuff in there that is good, fantastic for me, because it really doesn't taste like strawberry or chocolate. Whereas now I just don't think it's okay. I mean, you see confectionery brands now launching proteins, and actually the protein content isn't particularly high. The sugar content's relatively high, but hey, they're flying, and that's probably all down to taste. So I think still different products for different consumers. I'm sure more the entry to market will be buying those sort of brands because they know what they can expect from taste. But hey, yeah, in certainly in my development work, taste has to come very high, if not first, on quite a few occasions.
Yeah. And do we all think that the word protein as being the all-important issue is now, is that phase over? James, what do you think?
Yeah, I think maybe, again, understanding of now we see protein on a lot of packaging, wide range of products in the supermarkets. I think people have now read a little bit deeper and understood, yes, but great, it's got protein in it, but how much protein? And then understanding a bit more about, well, how much protein do I need in my diet? So I think people have, again, as Ryan sort of alluding to, that people have kind of seen that, but it's been and gone a bit now, that people are reading a lot more into what they're consuming. And so that word protein on the front of the package maybe doesn't do the wholesale.
Yeah. And I'm interested also, if you're looking at the elite sports area that, like you do, is there a sort of a big shift? I mean, do they want to see sort of bright colours? Do they want to see science, or do they want it to seem natural and lovely?
I think, yeah, there's a differentiation in the products probably on the supermarket shelves. They need to be probably a bit more eye-catching and appealing. I think on the elite side, because most of the athletes will have a team around them of a sports scientist, nutritionist, how much decision making they do will vary.
Also, probably less easy to bullshit them, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
they know
yeah.
what they're talking about.
Yeah, quite, yeah, exactly. So, you'd like to think that they will be have some relatively good knowledge of, as an elite athlete, taking their own ownership on what they're putting in their bodies. But of course, they've got a lot of support around them that most of us don't have. So, I think it then goes. Yeah, it's the packaging side of it, as an example, isn't necessarily the be all and end all. It's more about the conversation that is being had with the athlete directly or with the nutritionist at the club, for example. So I think a lot more honed in on that side than the marketing material, if it were.
And do you see a little spillover of elite sports people using your product and then that filtering down to other people because of the implicit endorsement? So that the market grows, but still sits in that. It's a difficult space, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go on, paint a picture of your market.
So if being brutally honest, the elite part of the market is a very, very small part of the overall sports nutrition market. For us, it would be we home in on those, and of course, there's a hope that will filter down into the next levels of athletes, so semi-professional, university sport, college sport, these types of areas.
And does it?
I think it's starting to. There's also companies on different journey. We're still relatively young, so I think that's definitely something that we're hoping to see working on. And I believe it is starting to happen. I believe it's starting to happen generally anyway. Again, that whether you're amateur or professional, more and more people on an amateur recreational level are probably as knowledgeable now than some of those professionals. So I think you do see that trickle down anyway now. And
I mean, I run 8K twice a week. That puts me pretty much on the level of specialist nutrition. Oh yeah, definitely. Okay, now let's talk about the sort of the shifts in other industries that are beginning to affect the sports nutrition industry. Luca, if I can start with you on this one, there's a huge consumer demand for plant-based products. Now, obviously, protein sources like whey protein have become are very important to the sports nutrition industry. Is this going to shift?
Well, it's a difficult prediction to make. Whey protein is exceptional in many ways, but we have in the sports nutrition industry, we have used other proteins like soy for a long time now. So, I keep seeing new sources of protein from plants. And obviously, we'll have more of it. Consumers have an interest, will not stop, and will only grow. I think if we go more into the future, the question is whether we'll have new sources of protein, which are not your standard plants, if you want. If we can get something from algae, for example,
algae? What's algae?
Algae, or even from microbial fermentation. I think if we look into the future, the question is whether we can build some super protein in the lab, if you want. But I think other than that, plant proteins will certainly grow, but whey will not be easily removed from its first place.
Is whey particularly easy to use in products on a technological level? But Ryan, is whey a particularly useful protein source?
Absolutely. For the trends, the flavors that people want, if you take the basic protein shake, obviously for years we're trying to replicate a milkshake. So yes, by adding a dairy component to the product, it makes it much easier to flavor. I would say that other proteins, peas, rices, things like that, they are getting better, and flavor houses have done a very good job at basically building the opposing flavor profile that when you put them together you get a very neutral taste known as sort of a masking agent. So for example, coconut covers pea protein quite well, so you see a lot of sort of chocolate coconuts and things like that. So but whey's always been the easier one to work with, and as Luca said, sort of the gold standard as it be at the moment.
Now, let's have a little chat, and I don't want to dwell on this too much, but what about regulatory issues? And let's talk about the difficulties or the changes that the industry is having to cope with. Luca, can you shed light on regulation without making everyone fall asleep with boredom?
No, of course, it's my favorite topic, but I understand it's not for everyone. But yeah, I think the situation has changed. In the past, there was a trend, let's say, towards overregulation of the sector. We don't have that anymore. Sports nutrition products are under what we call general food law, and that's generally a reasonable situation. There are some small details to adjust if you want, but I would say the main challenge is health claims, claims and claims associated with performance, for example. Sports performance are regulated as health claims, and that's been if you want a regulatory failure, in the sense that we have not seen the degree of innovation that the regulation health claims was expected to promote. So it's just disappointing in that way. It should have promoted more research, but it hasn't worked out as expected.
And just for anyone who isn't really aware of the health claims in the industry, what sort of health claims can be made, and what's the point at which they go too far and they become illegal?
Well, so there are two main types of claims. One is nutrition claims, for example, high in protein. That there is a certain amount of protein that you need to have in the product to make that claim. High in protein, low in sugar, and the likes. And then there are health claims in which you have a substance like, say, creatine, and then you have an effect on health. For example, increases strength in certain types of exercise. Those claims need to be approved. You can't just do the studies and then make the claims on pack. You have to produce a dossier and have those approved and authorized. So so potentially you can make many sports associated claims in advertising and on products, but you need to build a strong evidence base and have it approved. And it's been extremely difficult to have new claims approved. So that's a big challenge for the industry. Is it that clear enough? I mean, as terms of examples or...
That's pretty good. I think James. I mean, you, as somebody who's trying to flog the stuff, is it just a constant balance between you wanting to make a claim and your lawyer saying, "Ah, James, you can't say that, mate."
Yeah, I think it's the industry. It's the regulation again, because it's new. There's the regulations probably catching up in a lot of ways. So it's amazing how maybe unregulated it is still. So. But I guess it depends on personal views in that sense. I don't think we try and put too many claims on the table.
Again, you're dealing with people who know what they're talking about. Exactly. You can't fuck them off, can you?
Exactly. So, yeah. Again, we're probably not taking too many risks, if it were, and trying to put out everything that we think we can. We'd rather, again, personal relationships and speak directly to clubs and find out needs and responsibilities that they want from the product. So, yeah, almost I think probably a bit risk averse maybe, because we don't want to go too far and say something that obviously does unethically or morally then.
You're good and shiny, aren't you, James? All right,
try.
Okay, Ryan, let's ask you another tricky question then. So in NPD, what comes first? The desire to make a health claim or a product that you want to shout about?
Oh, I'd sort of say it's a very similar thing. I suppose it depends on the goal of the product. But yes, sometimes we will formulate with existing ingredients because of their approved health claims rather than a new ingredient. Because of that incapacity to be able to use it, which is a frustration. I do get that it does promote a level playing field, but then you'd sort of add on top of that sort of cross-border challenges where you've got other brands coming in from different countries that aren't playing ball. So yeah, it's difficult for us as a company, certainly.
Okay. Question for all of you, really. But what do you think is the next generation of sports nutrition? Is it looking at a whole new market? Is it looking at women sports people rather than men? What are the big sort of shifts? James, if you can start.
Definitely the one mentioned there. I think, you know, women's sport is rightly so on the rise and gaining huge profile. So certainly we would happily say that we're working more and more in the female sport side.
And would you say that the female sports nutrition is different from male sports nutrition?
I think there's yes in some examples, but also again trying to sort of demist a lot of information is, you know, on more broad examples like we've used protein. You know, if an athlete's an athlete and they need to use protein to you know, train and recover, etc. So I think in those ways there's no real differentiation. But don't get me wrong, and I've not got the nutritional science qualifications behind me, but there will of course be specialist areas where no doubt there are differences. But I think, you know, there's almost a two-way thing again there, where I think sometimes it's females think they have to use it differently, or but actually, like I say, at the end of the day, protein, carbs, fats, etc. They all we all need them.
We all need them. Absolutely. Luca, do you see other sectors becoming more important within the sports nutrition category?
Well, I think, you know, we'll see more natural. I think we'll see more try to reduce the degree of processing, or at least apparent processing in the product. I think we clean label, I think that will be a big trend, definitely. At the same time, I think the focus would, I'm at least my idea, my expectation is that we work more on the general well-being of the person doing sports, not necessarily the performance or recovery, or you know, but also relaxation. For example, probiotics, I think they have lots of potential for the general well-being. I think, you know, all the conditions that enable you to exercise as you plan and to be in good health. So I think that there will be more products that address not only the immediate need during the sports event or the training, but the general well-being of the person exercising.
Okay. Ryan, do you see the Venn diagram of different categories? Do you think it's going to shift sports nutrition? Well, you know, what about CBD and sports nutrition? Are these things all going to meld and shift?
Yeah, I think that the category is not really 100% established yet. So yeah, of course, there will be some shift. And I do think, to be honest, we seem to still be picking up sort of the macro food trends. So not even necessarily developing our own personality just yet. So yeah, I think if you look at a lot of food trends at the moment, I do think that replicates over to the sports nutrition industry.
And what about things like CBD? Does that send shivers down your spine?
Not so much at the moment now after seeing what's come out about it, but yeah, no, I mean, yeah, the importance of just being sensible when you're putting products together and just thinking about the end user, and they're not always taken by the people you want or expect to take. So I just think everyone has their piece of responsibility to be playing. Don't think CBD's been a very good example of being responsible, but that's just my opinion.
Beautifully tactful, I would say, Ryan. Well done. Okay, just to finish this off, I'd like to, we always do this in the podcast, so I'd like to go around the table and do a bit of future gazing. Is there anything, and this can be about regulation, it can be about things that you're terrified of or things that you're really excited by, and it can be something that you expect to see in 20 years or in 1 year. Let's start with you, James. A bit of future gazing from you. What's going to be interesting? Good or bad, I don't mind.
Geez, good question. I don't know. I think there's just a biggest, I suppose currently maybe it is bad, but or negative, is need for education. I think there's just a lack of...
Nutritional education.
And this is athlete, you know, and in general public. I think we all need to understand more and learn more. And I think, you know, we have a responsibility as people working in the industry to provide more platforms for freely accessible education, and to, you know, do that collaboratively as well. So work with various organisations in the industry. I think that that's a real importance that we need to continue to work hard at and deliver more information that again is actually quite clear and simple, but provides the again ethical moral messages because essentially we are affecting people with their health, well-being, or performance, and how they look after their bodies. So I think it's critical that we as an industry and people working in industry continue to evolve and deliver on those kind of things.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. Now, Luca, before you give us your future gazing, can you just tell me, fantastically, you're part of the European Specialist Sports Nutrition Alliance, which is the country in Europe which is most advanced or most engaged with the sports nutrition category?
The UK.
Oh, yeah, he's saying the right things.
There is no doubt about that. And you were discussing the protein trend, and you know, we're mentioning it may be fading in the UK, but it's relatively new in other parts of Europe. So yeah, most definitely the UK is the most advanced. Well,
why is that? Why do you think that is?
Excellent question. I think it's more with, you know, just the type of companies that have come up in the UK, but I think perhaps UK consumers are more open to innovation. I think so. I think that's the reason. I think the British people are generally more open to innovation in the food sector, but rather than let's say in Italy or Spain or France. And I think that explains this current situation.
That's really interesting. Okay.
In general, our industry, the sports nutrition industry, as young consumers, so generally open to innovation, we love the desire to try new things. But the UK is, yes, more open to that. So I think we will see the trends that have occurred in the UK replicated elsewhere. Not all, but with some delay. Yes, we are seeing the same things.
Yeah. Okay. And your future gazing, is it related to that? Is it about the dissemination of information across Europe, or have you got something else that you find more exciting?
Yeah. Of course, yes. But I think what we have right now, we have science. I think genetics was mentioned. We have an increased understanding of many things that happen in our body during sports as well, and that has not been translated into new products, into new substances, new ideas. I think that I do hope that in the future we see that applied more, genetics especially. But not necessarily with specialized products, not necessarily personalized nutrition, but we definitely need more of that. Hopefully we'll get that. And as well, people age, and people continue to do sports, maybe sometimes in their 70s and 80s, and we don't have yet good nutritional solutions for them. We are not ready to address sarcopenia, for example, or to reduce the risk of injury significantly with sports nutrition products. And I think that's something that's badly needed, and hopefully a combination of more research and innovation will provide some of the solutions.
Yeah, that's I like that. That's a kind of exciting sort of broadening of the market that really, really resonates. Okay, Ryan, if you can finish off, what's your bit of future gazing for us?
Sure thing. Not normally political, but in the light of Brexit, I am interested to see where the UK does go and what direction we go with regards to health claims and with regards to sort of establishing our own regulation and to see what that does for the industry, I suppose. And then to sort of add to that from a product development perspective, I think it was Guy Kawasaki said that you always should go for the next curve, jump to the next curve. So not just looking at refining, making small tweaks to existing things, but really look to the next level. So I'm always excited about new products, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what the sort of next generation new products will be.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I thought that was a fantastic discussion and really exciting looking ahead at what's going to develop in the category. So thank you very much to James Markey, Managing Director of Nutrition X, Ryan Page, NPD Manager of USN, and Luca Bikini, Vice Chair of ESNA. Guys, thank you so much for your help.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by Food Matters. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, please visit foodmatters.co.uk.